You buy me time, I said. There will be a moment, just when the phage or phages cross over, where they will be vulnerable. If you are able to see one and distract it, it will give me more time to aim them back at their summoner. And it's possible that my spell might not work. If it goes south, you'll be near enough to help clear people out, maybe do them some good. Murphy began to speak, then she paused, turned around, and asked, Harry, is there someone in the shower?
Yeah,
I said, and rubbed at the back of my neck. She arched a brow and waited, but I didn't offer any explanation. Maybe it was my way of getting petty vengeance for her brutal honesty in the elevator. All right, then, she said, and took up the candles. I'll get downstairs and look for Rawlins. Otherwise, I'll grab one of my guys from SI. Sounds good, I said. Murphy left while I started planning out my redirection spell. It didn't take me long. Mouse lifted his head suddenly, and a second later, someone knocked at the door. I went over and opened it. Charity stood on the other side, dressed in jeans, a knit tank top, and a blue blouse of light cotton. Her features were drawn with stress, her shoulders clenched in unconscious tension. When she saw me, her features became remote and neutral, very controlled. Hello, Mr. Dresden. It was probably the friendliest greeting I could expect from her. Heya, I said. Standing beside her was an old man, a little under average height. What was left of his hair was gray, trimmed neatly, though hardly a fringe remained. He had eyes the color of robin's eggs, spectacles, a comfortably heavy build, and wore black slacks and a black shirt. The white square of his clerical collar stood out distinctively against the shirt. He smiled when he saw me and offered me his hand. I shook it, smiling, and had no need to fake it. Father Forthill, what are you doing here?
Harry, he said amiably, lending some moral support, by and large.
He's my attorney, Charity added. I blinked.
He is?
He is, Forthill said, smiling. I passed the bar before I entered the orders. I've kept my hand in on behalf of the diocese and my parishioners. I do some pro bono work from time to time, too.
He's a lawyer, I said. He's a priest. This does not compute.
Forthill let out a belly laugh. Oxymoronic. Hey, did I start calling you names? I grinned at him. What can I do for you? Molly was supposed to be waiting for us downstairs, Charity said. But we haven't found her. Do you know where she is? The universe conspired against me. If Charity had asked the question 10 seconds sooner, I would have been fine. But instead, the bathroom door opened and Molly appeared in a swirl of steam. She had a towel wrapped around her hair and was holding another around her torso. Hotel towels and Molly's torso being what they were, the towel didn't quite get all the way around her and barely maintained modesty. Harry, she said, I left my bag out in the... She broke off suddenly, staring at Charity.
This isn't what it looks like, I stammered, turning back to Charity.
Her eyes blazed with cold, righteous rage. An old Kipling axiom about the female of the species being more deadly than the male flashed through my mind right about the time Charity introduced my chin to her right hook. Light flashed behind my eyes, and I found myself flat on my back while the ceiling spun around a little.
Mother,
Molly said in a shocked voice. I looked up in time to see Forthill put a firm hand on Charity's arm, preventing her from following up the first blow. She narrowed her eyes at Forthill, but the old man's fingers dug into her biceps until she gave him a slight nod and took a small step back into the hallway. Dress, she told Molly, implacable authority in her tone. We're leaving. The kid looked like she might start falling apart on the spot. She grabbed her bag, ducked into the bathroom, and was dressed in under a minute. There was nothing going on, I mumbled. It came out sounding more like,
there's nothing going on.
I may not be able to keep you away from my husband, Charity said, her tone cold, her diction precise. But if you come near one of my children again, I will kill you. Thank you for calling me. She left, the weary Molly following her.
There was nothing going on,
I said again to Fort Hill. This time it sounded mostly like English. He sighed, looking after the pair.
I believe you.
He gave me a smile that was one part amusement to four parts apology, and followed them. Murphy must not have reached the elevators before Charity and Fort Hill had arrived. She appeared in a doorway, peering inside the room, and then back the way Charity had gone. She said, you all right?
I guess, I sighed.
Her mouth twitched, but she didn't quite smile or laugh at me. Seems to me that you should have seen that one coming.
Don't laugh at me, I said. It hurts.
You've had worse, she said heartlessly. And it serves you right for letting the little girl into your hotel room. Now get up. I'll be downstairs. She left too. Mouse came over and started patiently nuzzling my chin and putting slobbering dog kisses on the bruise I could feel forming there. Women confuse me, I told him. Mouse sat down, jaws dropping open into a doggy grin. I groaned, pushed myself to my feet, and set about preparing the redirection spell, while outside my room's window, the sun raced for its nightly rendezvous with the western horizon.